There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Monday, the last Monday, of 2025. We'll make it through. We'll do it again on a Monday in the future, next year, in 2026. Also, speaking of which, we're down to the wire here on Alabamian of the Year. Your votes are being tabulated. Leaning one way. Over at FMTalk1065.com on the right-hand side, you'll see vote for who you think should be the 2025 Alabamian of the Year, the inflatable Fairhope protest penis, and the Mobile Beaver removal. Those are the two that are up for grabs. Yeah, that's what this texture said. Alabamian of the Year, beaver versus penis? What's happening, guys? And I said, I know, that's what happens when we let the people vote. That this is, yeah, we do not control this. Like, we set it up for suggestions, and then Dalton sets up the rounds on, takes the names people put in, and then we set up the heats, and people vote, and then the next group goes, and this, my friends, is where we have arrived at this. Jim B., the inflatable wiener case may not go to SCOTUS, but may go to SCROTUS. Hey, come on, Jim. B-Dark said, Sean, I would rather see K.I.V. get Man of the Year than a fake penis. There you go. And Unnamed Texture, which, by the way, it's not Unnamed Texture. This is Daphne Leatherneck. Says, I got an idea. How about the U.S. government stop taking all our money, and then we can afford to go to whatever school district we want? Well, you can't. You can. I guess you can pay to go into another school district, but you're, assigned in public school districts. I see this, like Michael said earlier, the problem is, maybe I'm reading into what Michael said. To me, the problem is that there's only so many people can get in it, right? You're going to put the arbitrary number, it's $95,000 for a family of four, but there's not money in there for every Alabama family that wants to do it, so it's a derby to get into it. I mean, if the policy is a good and right thing to do, why should it be some sort of lottery to be able to get that? Oh, well, we don't have enough money, Sean. Well, then maybe you don't do it. You got to do one or the other. Do it correctly or don't do it. But I do like the idea of it. It's the same way. And that's what I said to Todd Stacy. He said, some of these families already have kids in public school. I want to reward those families as well. I mean, in private school, I want to reward those families as well. If they have a family income of $95,000, family of four, and they're already paying property tax, right, to do this to be able to fund the public schools through the property tax, and then on top of that, they're paying to go to private school, they're doing a lot. They're lifting a lot. Same thing with removing the state's sales tax on groceries. To me, that's not about... Because people often say, well, people aren't paying taxes anyway. SNAP and EBT. It isn't about SNAP and EBT. It's about those families that are busting their hump to do it the right way. And another $40 or $50 back a month in taxes on their groceries? That's huge. That's encouraging the behavior we want to see. Mike also said, I think the Ukraine war is going to heat up again after Zelensky decided to attack Putin's state residents and sabotage the peace talks. Putin is pretty mad. Putin is pretty mad is something you can probably say all the time. Mike, I don't know that That's like saying that chihuahua, you know, will probably bite. Yes. Probably upset. All right. I mentioned this last hour. And I just, good for the new mayor of Spanish Fort. Good for the new mayor. Mayor Bass puts this thing out. This came out, I think, yesterday. Yeah, last night. So a story from WKRG says Spanish Fort's new mayor says people need to do a better job with their Christmas trash. Mayor Brad Bass posted a video on the city's Facebook page Sunday night showing the Ember Lane recycling facility dumpsters overflowing with trash and boxes. Here's what the mayor had to say. Let's go to cut one.
Hey, Spanish Fort, it's Brad Bass. Coming to you today really more out of frustration than anything else. This holiday season, we partnered with Waste Pro to add 4 additional rollaway dumpsters at Spirit Park. Unfortunately, those dumpsters have been ignored for the most part. We have household garbage, trash, non-recyclables that have been dumped here at the Ember Lane Recycling Facility. Waste Pro currently picks up 6 days a week from this facility. They last picked up yesterday, Saturday morning at 5:30 a.m. Since then, you can see the condition of the facility here. We've got to do better as a city. Unfortunately, tomorrow when Waste Pro comes to empty these dumpsters, it's one truck with one person driving. They don't have the ability to pick up and clean up the area, which means tomorrow morning, once our city workers get here, they will spend hours out here cleaning this up. We've got great cameras here at the facility. Moving forward, we will be issuing fines and also some public embarrassment for those folks that continue to show up here on camera, dumping, leaving their things here for the city to clean up. We've got to do better as a city and as a community. I hope everyone has a great holidays.
Okay, so there's the video posted up, and you could, if you go watch it, you'll see the video part of it, this trash, and I guess a couple, it looks like at least one or two people got a Moultrie corn feeder for Christmas, got a deer feeder, because boxers are there. I can spot that. The other stuff doesn't make sense to me, but I can pick out a Moultrie product and a deer feeder out there. So they got those, but the idea is, I guess it is more frustrating to me, because I see it here at the opulent Bigler Broadcasting Facility at Airport and 65, that we have a dumpster, and that dumpster is actually supposed to be, in this case, just for people that pay rent here. But people will come and use it, but if they can't get the item in the dumpster, or they're too lazy or weak to get it in there, they just put it near the dumpster. And I don't, it's not maybe at the level of the people that go riding around dumping stuff out of the back of their trucks. I live out in the country. Let me tell you right now, when we see y'all riding around in the Ford Ranger with a bunch of trash in the back of your vehicle, don't be surprised if myself or our neighbors follow you and tail you the whole time. But it is that kind of idea that, well, instead of going, hey, the dumpsters are filled up. Hey, kids, we're going to have to come back and try to do it later. Do it tomorrow. It's just, well, I'm in the area. Let me sling all this trash out there. You see this stuff, like if a trash can gets full, it's full. But people will put trash next to a trash can or a dumpster or something like this. Just, they're just in the, well, I'm close to it. I'm dumpster adjacent, so everything should be fine. So good on the mayor there, and hopefully get him on the show here soon to talk more about this, but and more stuff going on in Spanish Fort. But I think what he brought up for Spanish Fort is something we see, yeah, when it's Christmas time or big gift-giving time. If the dang dumpster is full, you have to come back later. Maybe I'm missing something, but you just, if you watch that video, the stuff that's just like, well, I'm near the dumpster, let me throw this crap out of the truck, and then I'm going off to do whatever it is I want to do. All right, come back from the break. Lawsuit, which I'm weeing a lot today. Well, not like that, but I'm including y'all. I figured this lawsuit was coming. Big Creek Lake, public access debate. Got a lawsuit in this over the vacation of that road leading into Narrow House Ferry. Well, tell you more about that when we get back. Hear from you at 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Gone! Gone! Godfather sounds so good there. Introduce the kids to a little James Brown Christmas over the holidays as well. It was kind of decently received. I don't think they added it to their playlist, but, you know, dads can do what we can do. All right, welcome back. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. Yeah, voting continues for the Alabamian of the Year on the front page of the website, fmtalk1065.com. And it's one-sided right now. We'll just put it that way. I don't want to lean on the numbers. I don't want to, you know, it's one-sided right now. So if you feel motivated to be the other side, you can vote now. Or if you just want to, you know, pile on, you can do that as well. Right, mentioned after my discussion of the Litterin thing, it's like a big deal with me, but it's to see what happened in Spanish Fort. It's not just Spanish Fort, it's everywhere else. But this idea of like, well, I'm here, I'm just going to sling some of the stuff out while I'm here, just drives me crazy. And the other part of things that have been ruminating on today, is Big Creek Lake and the lawsuit that I'm surprised, honestly, that took this long for it to come out. And I'll play this clip. This is from my buddy Andrea Ramey over at NBC 15. And this is a story about the Big Creek Lake being shut down, Maws, and a lawsuit. Let's go to cut one here.
Tonight, two Mobile County residents are taking the fight over public access to Big Creek Lake to court. They're suing Mobile County and Mobile Area Water and Sewer System, claiming the county did not follow the correct procedures when it gave Maws a road that led to the only public boat launch. Earlier this year, Maws installed a fence blocking access to the launch and permanently closed the lake. Maws said it was needed to protect the Mobile Area drinking water supply from invasive species. The men who filed the lawsuit hope to regain access.
That was our access point to that public navigable body of water.
During a December 8th Mobile County Commission meeting, Heath Hutchinson pointed out what he said was a legal error the commission made on February 24th, 2022, when it vacated a portion of Halls Ferry Road, the road that led to a public boat launch at Big Creek Lake. Hutchinson said the commission used the wrong vacation statute and contends the decision to hand over the road to Maws is null and void.
I'm asking the county commission to rescind their vote to vacate Halls Ferry Road.
The county's attorney agreed to meet with Hutchinson to explore the issues he presented. But after two meetings that Hutchinson's attorney, Thomas Benton, says went nowhere, this complaint against Mobile County and Maws was filed Tuesday afternoon.
The way I look at it, this is public property that the county should protect.
Benton says there are other procedural matters that are problematic with how the county vacated the road. But the fatal flaw, he says, was relying on the wrong law to vacate the road.
My opinion is on that. They use that statute because it has less rigorous requirements to get the vacation, and you don't have to do the public notice and all that. And because they use the wrong vacation statute, it's void. I mean, if you don't follow the procedures to the T under the law, those vacations are void.
This isn't the only courtroom battle over Big Creek Lake. Maws has also filed a lawsuit against the Alabama Department of Conservation and Natural Resources in Montgomery County. Maws is asking a judge to rule that the department has no authority to declare the reservoir a public waterway and that Maws alone has complete control over who accesses any of it. That lawsuit is pending.
Well, keep in mind there's a 1858 statute that says it's a navigable waterway.
We've reached out to the county and Maws for a comment.
Okay. So nice update. Appreciate that from Andrea Ramey. So now it's going to a lawsuit mode. There's a couple things moving here. First of all, there's the charges against Andy Ellsworth, right? Coming from Maws towards him. There is the declaration that came from Commissioner Chris Blankenship that said that this is navigable water, Maws suing them, and then now these two Mobile County residents, Heath Hutchinson and Christian Howell. And by the way, if you'll know either of them, if you could put them in touch with me, I'd love to have them on the show, that they filed lawsuit here suing Maws. So there you go. So you got a Maws pressing charges against Andy Ellsworth. You got Maws suing the state of Alabama, DCNR, and now you have citizens suing Maws. You got all that? You got all that? Okay, good. So let's let me throw this into the mix as well. There's a possibility if Representative Shane Stringer has said that he tried it last year during session, didn't get through this year during session for some kind of bill that would declare public water, public access to the water, Big Creek Lake, or something thereabouts. I get him back on the show to put it in detail. So a couple of things, though. You know, I see the discussion popped up last night on Facebook, where everybody knows everything. First of all, let's talk about what is, I can tell you what's not legal. Like, if you, for example, although it's, rivers have been low this year, we've been kind of drier than normal, but when the Alabama and the Tom Bigbee and the Mobile River get up, right, they get up out of their banks and they flood the private property that's in the bottomlands, you don't have access. You can't, even though you're in the water, you can't go over that land. That's private. That's private. Even though your boat will float, that's private. So I saw somebody say, well, if it's covering up, but that's not the same. Big Creek Lake navigable waterway, okay, and then impounded, right? So you had Big Creek, and it's flowing, doing its thing, doing Big Creek stuff, flowing beautiful water. And then for a utility, which is an important thing, like it's not a bad thing to have water for the city of Mobile, they impound Big Creek and let it fill up and make the lake. So it's not just, it was the area underneath. You have two questions. You have the limiting of access, and at the same time, you have the question of this being a utility, not a private property owner, right? So this is a different, a little different angle to it. So you have riparian rights. If you have, okay, you have rights in the state of Alabama. If you can legally, and Lord knows, in a lifetime of figuring out different float trips to go catch spotted bass, I learned this over the years. If I can access the water from public or some private I'm allowed on, and I can take out on public or some private I'm allowed on, I can be on that waterway. Okay, so that's true. Now, the question is blocking that access. Two points here. That lawsuit is about the vacation, which just makes me think of the song Vacation in my head every time, but the vacating of the county's control of that section of road. That's one part of it. That's where this lawsuit is focused on. So the county commission vacated Howells Ferry Road. Now Moss takes that over, so that, you know, the county's saying, okay, we're not in control of this. You pave it, or you do the road grading. We're not responsible for it. End county maintenance. Now it doesn't belong to the county. So that's a specific issue. The other one, though, that affected Andy and them is that they were accessing from public easement and never touching private property. Moss put a boom across, right, that section and said, okay, now we're restricting your access. I don't think that holds up in court. Maybe there's some attorneys that would disagree with me, but we'll check that out. We'll get your comments from the text line in just a second, right after the news. Speaking of news, let's check in with my friend Anna at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. What's the news from Christmas 2025, Anna? Do you have anything left in stock if somebody forgot to buy a gift?
There's some silver gifts, okay. Yes, some jewelry, but we've sold out of all of our Christmas stuff. But, I mean, silver, exciting news for this week would be silver hit like $83, so it was over $80 an ounce.
It's awesome. I mean, and this is not like I've been buying it forever, but I've been buying it. I was buying it in the teens, Anna. I was buying it $15,
$16. Oh, I remember where people used to be able to buy, like, I think 3 or 4 coins under $100. Mm-hmm. Now you can't even get one.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. That appreciation has come way, way up. All right, somebody looking to buy some silver. I know people ask me, there's one guy in particular asked me all the time about y'all selling silver. So you have some for sale right now?
We do. We are closed, though. We're just here doing inventory today, but we are closed to the public until the 2nd okay. of January. So after New Year's, yes, you can come on in. We'll be back to regular hours from Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, starting the 2nd.
Good deal. Tell folks how to find you online, and then January 2nd, how to find you in person.
Yes, sir. Our website is mobilebaycoins.com. You can also find us on Facebook. And in person would be 2204 Government Street in Midtown Mobile.
Great stuff, Anna, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Sean.
All right, there goes Anna at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry, and we'll be right back. More of Midday Mobile.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
135 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Check in for one of the last times this year. Check in with my buddy David McCreary at LCM Motor Cars. Hey, David.
You going on vacation again?
I am, actually, at the end of the week. But, yeah, we only have another day or so to talk here before. Next week, it'll be 2026. So let's talk about how this week lines up for y'all at LCM.
Everything is as usual, except for Thursday. We will be closed on Thursday, the 1st of January 2026. But we'll be back open Friday and Saturday. Our normal hours will be open till Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday this week, our normal hours as well.
Okay. Let's talk about inventory on the lot right now. If somebody got a little, some Christmas cash, something like that, they said, man, it's time for a new vehicle.
Yeah, financing is really good, and we've got some great inventory right now. We've got four on the way, should be here this evening. One's a really nice little 2019 model Mercedes A220. 86,000 miles. It's white with a dark interior, and the 19's got the new glass dash on it. So it's it really looks newer than what it actually is. Good looking little vehicle. And we got a couple of four wheel drive crew cab trucks on the way, plus what's already on the ground.
Okay. And if people want to check out that inventory, I got it open right now. The very navigable LCM Motor Cars website.
Yeah, we've been happy with that so far. It's lcmmotorcars.com. You can do it on your telephone or on a desktop. Come see us in person if you get an opportunity. We're at Highway 90 and Plantation in Theodore. It's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. Or just give us a call, 251-375-0068.
All right, good stuff, and we'll talk again.
Have a good day, buddy.
All right, there he goes, David at LCM. It's funny, David and I were talking a second ago before we went on the air. Like some people... I put a video up, like Instagram, and of a doing a control burn, y'all know, like, you know, control prescribed fire, and had a had one tree that was out in the middle. It's, we don't have to get into technical reasons why some of those long leaves, a very few of them will get fire, gets in them, and they kind of act like a candle. He's like, people are like, did we have a lightning strike? I'm like, no. I set that on fire. Of course, I was trolling some people. I said, yeah, I set it on fire on purpose. Then I had the reaction like I got from David. What were you doing? Let's see here. The text line. Let me catch up here. Gene, which I didn't get a let me get Gene's previous text here. Said this was from hour number one. Said, how much has the Trump group made this month at Mar-a-Lago? $10,000 plates for Turning Point and Zelensky and BB meetings. I guess with the East Wing disaster, Mar-a-Lago is the least White House. And that's not like, that's an ED, not a T. The least White House. Okay, so zing there. And then the next zinger from Gene was, with all the places to fish, why do they want to pee in our drinking water? Gene, you've diluted it. You've really got to the onus of the question here. That's exactly what they want to do. The people that are, Gene, the people that are questioning why they are denied public access to Big Creek Lake is because they all actually want to go pee in Big Creek Lake. Now, there are some places upstream in Big Creek Lake you could access from a right-of-way, or they could get access on private land to go up there and pee. And that's what they, you're right, that's exactly what they want to do. You figured it out. Gene's figured out that this is all the lawsuits and the protests and all that is because people's desire to pee in the municipal drinking water. You know, there's a whole bunch of other stuff in there, too, that gets filtered out. But I don't, you've distilled this into the real argument. And it's because there's a big group of people out there just jonesing to go pee in the drinking water. Thank you for that wisdom. Tim. They never should have been able to close those roads without giving a public notice. And the reason they didn't want to give a public notice is they knew that people would object to it. You know, that's some of the argument, Tim, that's, you know, made in this case, right? Is, and I have not had time to analyze the two kinds of vacation. They call it, so when an entity vacates control of something, right? It said in the story, it was like there's one I don't know enough. There's one method to do it, and then there's another method. And it said, here's the attorney says, there's a fatal flaw, he says, with relying on the wrong law to vacate the road. Quote, my opinion is they use that statute because it has less rigorous requirements to get the vacation, and you don't have to do the public notice and all that, and because they use the wrong vacation statute, it's void. I mean, you don't have to follow the procedures under the law. Those vacations are void. So that's going to what I like about that is it's not just saying, I don't like this. It's a specific argument, right? Because there's a lot of folks, and I go through the text in here, and I get it. I don't like this. Okay. You know, the mall store, lake signs are all around the part of the county I live in. But that's saying I don't like a thing. I don't like a thing is not usually what you bring to court. What this attorney's done, whether it be right or wrong, is have a specific here and say, well, actually, this specific procedure was done incorrectly, therefore it fails the test, therefore has to be undone. And if that's being said, now you go back to the discussion of, which I still think, I think there's a valid argument that was made by Andy and those guys that were getting on the water on public and use and never touching the property. The second, this is not about stepping on Moss controlled property. They own a bunch around the lake, almost all of it. And up through the drainage, they own it. And I get why they do that. And you don't have the right to step on that. Right? But this is about, if you can publicly access the water, can you be on it? At the same time, I am not ignorant to the questions about invasive species in there. A giant salvinia, zebra mussel, whatever it is. Get it, that can be a real problem. It can mess up the turbines, all that stuff with the water system. I get that, which they should have done early on. They should have had a regular person conversation and gone like, here's a worry, y'all, that we've seen this and, you know, show us another municipal water supply. This happened over there. It, you know, we already had the issue with the giant salvinia once in this lake. Here's what it costs to remediate that. And if we get it in this, look over here at wherever, Poughkeepsie, they dealt with the same thing. It cost them X number of dollars to deal. That's the kind of, then you could have a debate like, is it worth the risk? Maybe it's not. But they didn't take the information that way, did they? So yeah, people are PO'd. I think this is why, you know, this was one of the candidates for Alabamian of the Year. And while Terry earlier made a good point, the Fairhope ding-dong costume story probably is moving the news cycle this year and probably will in a subsequent year. Because I think there is a free speech obscenity law question in that. I don't think it's a slam dunk. I mean, I think they're going to use community standards and all that, but I don't think that's a slam dunk for the arrest of that woman. It may still be valid, but I think there's a legal question there. Same one with this. This is a big legal question. And so Riparian writes, and I'm a nerd that have paid attention to this, and we've had some debates over the years up along the Tom Bigby River, you know, how far could you access in to private property? There was a big case where a culvert was put in on a ditch leading to a lake. That culvert was put in, they said, for logging operations and those purposes. And there's a right to the landowner to get their timber out. But that stopped access. Should it be removed? You know, we have the whole thing, you know, the mean high tide level or water level. Is that floatable? And there's a standard, I don't have it in front of me, but the old standard was it's like a barge loaded with X number of bales of cotton should be able to float in something to say it was navigable. The law, you know, says this too in Alabama's law, reasonable use doctrine from Alabama code says you can use water. Okay, if you've got land that borders water, you're allowed to use water from a stream or a river that you're adjacent to. You touch it. You also have to use reason in this. This is why lawyers make all the money, right? You have to be reasonable. You can't significantly interfere with the rights of other riparian landowners upstream or downstream. All right, so that, in other words, you can't suck all the water out of something. It says what riparian landowners are allowed to do. So if Moss says they are the riparian landowner of Big Creek Lake, they're allowed to use the water for domestic purposes, drinking and household use. Well, they got that one. Agriculture, irrigation, livestock access. You're allowed to build piers, docks, and wharves, which y'all, here's a fun one on the text line. Tell me what the difference between piers, docks, and wharves are. Those three, what makes them different? There is actual definition of those three. They are not the same thing. And use of water for recreation, such as fishing and boating. You are not allowed to, under Alabama riparian law, divert or dam water in a way that deprives others of normal flow. They'd have an exception, right, for the utility. You're not allowed to pollute the waterway. I like that. You're not allowed to use so much water that unreasonably reduces the quantity or quality for others. Well, maybe if you're pumping the water out like that. Or the last one here, you're not allowed to block lawful navigation on navigable waters. That's the one that stuck with me. You're not allowed to block lawful navigation on navigable waters. Back to the question of the case, I'll just, instead of getting everybody riled up, somewhere in the upper Delta, Tom Bigbee River, between the rivers area, where a culvert was put in. Well, can you argue that they had the right to build the dam because of utility and all that, but when they put the boom across upstream, which was recent, to block the people on kayaks from accessing from public but getting to the lake, isn't that blocking lawful navigation on a navigable water? It is, and once again, what the DCNR, what Commissioner Blankenship sent, and they're getting sued by Maws as well here, what he said is navigable waters in the state of Alabama held in trust by the state. The public has the rights to navigate, fish, and recreate on those waters. So on navigable waters, the public has right. Now, you cannot access it if you're not on public access. But once you do, so there's a couple things. There's a specific case here I think that's interesting about the vacation they made, county made with the road. Second part is this question of navigable. I think it's going to be a hell of a year for Big Creek Lake Talk in 2026. All right, coming back, time for a checkup. Dr. Angerizer joins me next, right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5 and time for a checkup. And good to see this man back in studio. Always good to see Dr. Luke Angerizer from Alta Point. Welcome back.
Oh, thanks for having me again, Sean.
This is a new part of what y'all are doing with Alta Point, this expansion. It's a called First Step.
Yeah, so we... you know, we talked before about the Behavioral Health Crisis Center here in Mobile.
Right.
We've been open for about 3 years. And one of the unmet needs that we've really helped with at the Crisis Center has been people that are trying to get away from alcohol and other drugs. And due to the really intense community need, we have built a standalone 6-bed medically managed withdrawal unit specifically for people with these issues.
You know, you've talked with me before about this, and there are those two parts. There's like ongoing outpatient working with people, but there is, especially you talk about opioids and then alcohol, there sometimes you have to have a, what was the old term, was detox, right?
I mean, yeah. So the old term is detox. We call it medically managed withdrawal.
Okay, I can't keep up with it. But that thing that we all know, and that is that in all cases or some case? Like, do you work with some? Does everybody go through that who has one of these problems?
Not everyone necessarily needs medically managed withdrawal, but most people that have a very serious history with regular alcohol and opioid use will need help with that first step.
Now, listen to this. Dr. Ingarasher and I talked about this before, and it was surprising. Alcohol, people think, you know, it's, I don't want to use the word benign, it's not, but
that it's one of the things that just cold turkey, another non-medical term coming from me, right. Could kill you.
Absolutely. And
alcohol. Both,
Alcohol, yeah. And the one of the problems, somebody that really wants to stop using alcohol and opioids, the first step is stopping and then going through the withdrawal. That can be incredibly painful and uncomfortable. With alcohol, as you said, it is medically dangerous as well.
Just surprised me because I thought, because it's the way it's ubiquitous in the society. And here's this thing that could be deadly if you just cold turkey.
Yeah. So when somebody, if someone's been using alcohol regularly, when they stop using, they can go through withdrawal and kind of on the mild side, maybe an elevation in blood pressure, heart rate, some shaking in their hands. But that, as that progresses, it can lead to very serious medical outcomes like seizures or confusion, disorientation that we call delirium tremens, and can even lead to death if not treated.
On the opioid or the fentanyl side, too, you've talked about ways to lessen that as people get clean or get off this.
Right.
There's ways to ease that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And with opioids, typically not life-threatening, but so incredibly painful. You know, somebody that is trying to
quit. I hear people say you get sick.
Oh, so sick. So, intense joint aches, nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, sweating, increase in anxiety, not able to sleep. And this can go on for days and days. And, somebody that's really motivated to stop, they just can't go through that. It becomes just so excruciatingly painful.
It becomes the impediment, becomes the wall, even though their soul or their brain, whichever, maybe part of both, wants to get to the other side of this.
Right. Yeah. But it's just so painful that they're not able to do it on their own.
So, okay. So you got the facility here at first step, but What are they? I mean, there are medicines, right, that you can use to...
Yeah. So we treat alcohol withdrawal and opioid withdrawal very differently with different kinds of medications, but medications are very effective. So on the alcohol side, for both opioids and alcohol, we typically will use a medicine called gabapentin, which can decrease the anxiety significantly. For alcohol specifically, we use a class of medications called benzodiazepines, specifically a medicine called Ativan, which can help somebody safely and comfortably get through alcohol withdrawal. And then on the opioid side, we use a medicine called buprenorphine or commonly known as Suboxone to help people with opioid withdrawal symptoms.
Okay. So they go through that process here with the medicine and the facility. But then eventually... I mean, it's over, right? Or how do you make sure you mitigate the amount of people going right back to it?
Yeah, so we our focus at first step is to get people through that acute withdrawal period, but then that's not all we do. So we have peer specialists that connect people with community resources, 12-step programs. We have discharge planners and therapists that can really help people with kind of getting the social supports that they need. On the medical side, there are medications that will help people stay in recovery.
Okay.
So we have medications that can help significantly with alcohol cravings and opioid cravings, and we will typically start those when somebody's getting towards the end of that withdrawal period.
But, I mean, that's the mental side, right? Because we go through the withdrawal, the physical side of it. But let's say it's out of their system. We've gotten through using these techniques. Mm-hmm. But there's still something.
If somebody's using substances regularly, there are changes in the brain that are not permanent, but they can be, lasting for months after somebody stops using that substance. And kind of because of those brain changes, there could be very intense thoughts of going back to using substances that we call cravings. But we have really effective medications that can greatly reduce those cravings and help somebody stay in recovery.
Okay, so it is you deal with it acutely, but then you deal with it afterwards with the maintenance.
Exactly. And we connect everybody with either outpatient or inpatient programs, depending on what they need to help foster that continued recovery.
Okay. So unmet need being met by what y'all are doing. Somebody listening to us themselves or want to give this information to somebody else? Is this something, do you have to have a recommendation? How do they get to it?
Best first step, they can just call AltaPoints Access to Caroline. That's 251-450-2211, 450-2211. Just call that number, say what kind of help they're looking for, and they will help walk them through that process.
Dr. Engaraja, as always, appreciate having you on the show and come back soon.
All right. Thanks so much, Sean.